Welcome to Minority Corner. With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Holy fuck. And we're here.
We're here. Well, clearly we're going to be talking about this fucked up election.
Y'all, don't worry. We're here for you. We're here for you. So
we love you first and foremost.
This is a new chapter for Minority Corner because we're going to be wrapping shit up. Like
it's called job security, James.
It's called I got you.
That
means many things.
You.
We will be on high presidential watch.
Yes.
Watching you. Minority Corner will be a safe haven for all minorities and active allies, because remember, ally is an action word.
It is a verb.
So we will be turning it up a notch. You thought you knew Minority Corner before, but you had no idea.
Things just got real.
Shit got real. We're also doing our veterans. Today was actually supposed to be an entire episode dedicated to veterans in honor of Veterans Day. So we'll be both getting into that, yeah?
Yes, I'm going to be talking about Native American veterans.
Yep, and I'm going to be talking about the history of black veterans. And I will tell you this, black folks have been fighting for the new lands of Americas since 1528.
We've been damn here for hell long.
Yeah, so I think it's just going to be a huge, and I think it's going to tie into this election and things, especially like black folks, this is our fucking country. And so I don't want us to have our heads down, heads up.
Yeah, same with Native Americans. I want to really emphasize that because there's been a lot of, like, with the whole World Series and the mascot bullshit and the Dakota Pipeline access.
Right.
We need to remind our beautiful peoples that this is our country, too.
Yeah, and same thing with, you know, Mexicans as well, Latinos, because they didn't move over the border. The border moved over them, and I think my segment's going to touch upon that as well. Whose land is it really, okay?
It's our land, motherfuckers. All of our lands.
Well, let's jump into it. Let's talk about this goddamn election.
Let's do it. So we're back. We're here.
Holy fuck. Well, are we? Holy fuck. Did the world just end? Is this the end of days?
You know what? The world didn't end. Shit is about to get rough.
The sun came up.
We are still alive. We are all still breathing. Thank goodness. Knock on wood.
For now. And you know what? We still have, let us not forget, Barack Obama is still technically our president until January 20th. So.
Yes.
Woo. I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, let's just, it's the Obama holiday season, y'all.
Yes, this is the Obama holiday season. Take it in, enjoy it. I think we even get one more MLK day I think we might even get that, so.
Do we?
We might not.
This might be terrible.
Like the next day.
Do we know when MLK day is?
I want to say it's somewhere like mid-January. It's like the first Monday of January, so it depends.
Oh, it depends, because...
Yeah.
Because Trump gets sworn in on the 11th? The 20th of January. I'll be in Thailand, so good luck, America.
I don't know if he'll let you back in. There's some weird, you know, border patrol things that are going on. But it's true. Like, there are people who are out of the country right now, and, you know, they're not sure if they're going to be who, you know, they lived in the country for many years, and they're not sure if they can get back in. I have a friend of mine who... They got married, him and his partner, they got married. One of them is an immigrant, and he was having just to hold and console his husband. They're terrified. They don't know what's going to happen with repeat, like, you know, Mike Pence.
He's scary as hell. I'm glad you brought up Mike Pence. Because everybody's
nobody
saying...
nobody talks about Mike Pence. He's even worse.
He's worse.
Than Donald Trump, I would say.
Yeah, because everybody's saying, like, oh, let's impeach Trump. Let's get rid of him. No, I don't want President Pence. I hella don't want President Pence.
Because
will make you have a funeral for your miscarriage. He does not like women's bodies. He's scared of that shit.
And doesn't like gay people either.
Nope.
He floated under the radar. Nobody paid attention to him. And he was just because, like, if Trump goes down, if anything does happen, or Trump decides he doesn't really want to run the country, he just kind of wants to live like a king.
Yes.
And have Pence. He's even said that Pence is children, Trump Jr. or whatever, said that, you know, Pence is going to be doing most of the domestic and foreign policy.
I hate that.
So if he's doing domestic and foreign policy, then what the fuck is Trump doing?
Sitting on his gold toilet?
That got skated under the radar. Like, Trump, like, Pence believes in conversion therapy.
It's out of control.
Pence believes in, you know, repealing the Marriage Act and all sorts of, like, just small incremental change that LGBT folk have gotten underneath Obama. Pence isn't about that.
Pence hates women, gays, and also probably people of color, because let's just throw it in, like, Baker's doesn't, because I would be surprised.
It's a free-for-all. You know, he said, like, something, like, in one of the debates, like, that, you're going to talk about that Latino thing or something.
Lord have mercy.
So I went to the actual Hillary Clinton night.
You were at Ground Zero.
I was at Ground Zero. I was at the Javits Center. And I had gotten some tickets from a friend of mine who worked for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And my best friend...
Oh, excuse me, inside track.
I got the friends and family tickets. But they kind of just put you in this, like, holding center inside the Javits Center. But okay. We were the closest, like, right out. It was, like, this weird sort of holding area thing. But on the balcony above me, I could see Katy Perry and Stevie Wonder. Oh. We waved at them. President Fitz was there.
You know, from Scandal.
Ooh, sexy-ass Tony Hale.
Yeah, Tony Goldwyn.
Or wait. That's not Tony Hale. Tony Hale's in Veep.
Tony Goldwyn.
Yes.
Yes.
No eyebrows.
Tony Goldwyn was
sexy
there.
Sexy older man.
Yeah. So we were like, and up there, I didn't see her, but Lady Gaga was up there as well. But she didn't come to, like, the balcony area where we were. And, like,
yeah.
I mean, it was like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people were there for this historic night. And I will tell you this. The Javits Center is where it was. Hillary rented out the biggest convention center there in New York.
Damn.
And there was a block party outside. There was going to be food trucks. There was going to be performances. This was a huge deal. Everyone there was prepared for a party. In the beginning of the night, there were some big screen TVs. And in the beginning of the night, there were all these speeches. You know, Eric Garner's mom, Trayvon Martin's mom, Tamir Rice's mom, all of these mothers of, you know, their black children have been murdered by the police. They came out on stage. They were decked out and they're, like, flashiest.
Beautiful.
Of, you know, wear.
Church
wear. Yes, it was church. It was the gaudiest of church wear. And it was beautiful.
I love it.
And they had
I love
such
my
hope.
People.
And, you know, Eric Garner's mom said something that, you know, really stuck out to me is that, you know, Hillary Clinton was the only candidate on both the Democrats and the Republican side. Hillary Clinton was the only one to come to them and to speak to them and to approach them.
Bernie Sanders did it?
Did not. No.
Oh,
wow. She was the only one that did that. And they had such hope. And the next morning, I just thought my heart broke because...
Right.
They had this moment of thinking that their children had not died in vain. And now there is no leadership that have their back, that have their voice. There's we just don't have control of any of the houses. So there's
no,
who's going to push that lead? Who's going to push any, you know, police reform or legislation through for their children? Who's going to have their back?
It's about to roll back.
And so, and as the night went on, it was just like, it was like being at a funeral. It was like a funeral. I don't want to equate this to, like, you know, 9/11 or anything like that, but you could just see the tragedy. Everyone's eyes welling up,
crying. I mean, I know I cried at one point. Everybody cried. Not a dry eye in the house.
I mean, I believe it. I believe it.
And you could just, you look and it was grown men, like people of all different walks of life. And I am a very positive, optimistic type person. And I found myself getting down as the results were coming in. And I think it was like once like Florida went through and there was just certain parts of the state. And it was like, wait a minute, if that state went that way. And I tried to just like keep people's energies up. I was like, come on, y'all. Like, you know, I started getting everybody to chant like Hillary and like, because we just needed positive energy because I really truly believe in like the law of attraction and positive thought. And, you know, I was reading this book, The Alchemist, which I know that Hillary Clinton has read too. Highly recommend it for anybody. And I was like, this is this woman's destiny. This is her journey. She's worked her ass off for this moment. And I know I've been critical of Hillary Clinton.
It's good to be critical of anybody.
Right. But I think, like, and it's hard because she's been vilified for so long, and there's a, Samantha Bee did a segment the day before the election about Hillary Clinton. I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Of just like how much she's always been vilified, even when she was first lady of Arkansas, of how people just really didn't like her. And it goes like, sometimes people just don't like a strong woman and they just do everything they can to vilify
her. It's threatening.
And that's been in the media for so long. And so people just, they're like, they don't even know why they don't like Hillary Clinton. They just don't like her.
Yeah.
And that's sort of as carried through where you really look at the history of this woman. You know, she really has been an activist for women. And, you know, she switched from Barry Goldwater to be an activist for people of color. And it's so disappointing. My heart broke watching her concession speech because
I know
she fucking deserved it. And the fact that we still don't have a female president, what the fuck, U.S.?
I texted my mom the night of and I was like, you know, did you ever think that you would see a female president? And she texted me back, no. And that broke my heart. And she still isn't going to see that. And that message to little girls, you can be 10 times as qualified as a man, but he's still a man. And he can get it over you. Was she the best candidate to bring about change and excite and enthusiasm that the other side also had? No.
I know. But I have something that I've been meaning to get off my chest.
Okay.
And this is, and I've been rolling it around in my head because I've been, you know, looking at Facebook, listening to my friends, everybody's heartbroken, people have been crying, people have been feeling a darkness, and I want to say, and this is like tough love Neke coming out right now, I feel like if your heart was broken, if you feel darkness from this, if you cried because of this, this is because this is the one of the first major times for you that that America has let you down.
Yeah.
Think about, this is what we have felt, that feeling that you're feeling, that people have, that are feeling right now, that's what I felt when I was accused of stealing my own car.
Yep.
That's what Black people feel when another Black man is shot down in the street.
Yep.
That's what people feel like when they get deported for ridiculous reasons, get stopped and frisked.
Yep.
So now that you have felt this disappointment of America, join the rest of us.
Yes.
Now.
Because, like, you know, I'm seeing these people out and, like, there's lots of protests going around the country, which I am so excited about. But
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. What I'm noticing, though, is that there's no police, like, tear gassing any of this because there are hella white people who are also there out in the streets. So white people finally, you know, I'm not saying that you haven't been there before, but I'm saying white people in the masses that are there now, and that you're absolutely right. This feeling is the same feeling that I had when I called you crying over Eric Garner. Crying because I didn't understand, because at that moment I had realized this is the reality of America. And I think, though, we thought because this was a white woman that this was maybe not going to happen to her, you know?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, but we're on the same side of a lot of white folks, and winning happens for them a lot. So surely we will win, and this is, you know, misogynist, like, you know, racist person or whatever. And
we'll hatch our wagon onto this.
Yeah, and no. So it's like, you're right, absolutely. This is the same, this feeling, I felt this many, many times before. And, you know, people want to say, you know, work hard. Minorities have been working harder. We're the ones that have consistently been pushing this change. And we get a handful of allies who maybe reach across the aisle to help us out. But you know what I'm really calling for? I'm calling for white people in masses to, like, roll up your sleeves and get to work.
Yes.
And join. Because, like, here's the thing. The possibility is that, like, you know, if Donald Trump does decide to go down a Putin, like, Russia's a dictatorship.
Right.
And Russia, they are killing journalists. They are killing freedom of speech. And
it's terrifying, you know, there.
It's terrifying. And we need our journalists to be able to get the information out, which is why we need to also stop watching MSNBC, stop watching CNN, turn off the 24-hour news cycles, because the media, like, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of things that contributed to this.
Right.
But a lot of journalists did not do their jobs here.
Oh, yeah.
There were we were talking about her emails as opposed to actually, like, policy. The amount of policy that got talked about never happened.
It's a fucking echo chamber. Everybody is listening to the channel that is telling them what they want to hear. We're looking at our Facebook feeds, which is telling us what we want to hear. What we need is more bipartisan news channels so we can see both sides and understand all the major issues that are affecting us and really get a feel of what the country is like. When, if you are crying and upset, look at the boiling water that has been going on around you. Colin Kaepernick kneeling at every football game was boiling water, was telling you. Pulse being shot up was boiling water. We are all in this pot together, and now we need to get to work. We have 4 fucking years. That is not that long of a time.
We actually have less than that, because here's the thing. Here's actually the thing is, 2018, it's the midterm election. So we have opportunity to get the House of Representatives and the Senate. And honestly, by 2018, we already need to have our Democratic leadership in place.
Yes.
Right now, we don't have any Democratic leadership.
No.
So we need to actually start, like, coming to the tables, like, right now and start piecing together what the game plan is.
Thank
and also,
you.
And I told you this as well, we need to double down on our own base of supporters. Because the thing that frightens, I think, a lot of people about what happened with Donald Trump is, and I said that I thought it was impossible in 2016 to win an election without, even pandering to black voters or Latino voters. He never made any effort.
None.
At all.
None.
Even Mitt Romney went out to black communities and
Latino communities,
went to a baby and was like, look at your bling bling. Like,
stop
he at
it.
Least tried to make his weird white man effort, right? Donald Trump didn't. He played to his white base. He did his dog whistling. White folks knew when he said "Make America Great Again," they knew what that meant, and they ran over to his side.
Make it white.
So we need to just double down onto who we already have. So this is an opportunity for women and minorities, LGBT, everyone to come together. It almost we need to voter registration is so important, because you look at the numbers. Here's a little numbering fact.
Yes, you know I love me some facts.
Yes, in 2012, Obama had 65 million of the popular vote to Mitt Romney's 60 million. This year, in 2016, Hillary Clinton had 59 million to Trump's 59 million. So that's like about, like, you know what, like 6 million people did not, like, Trump's side didn't really change that much, right?
Where the fuck were you, people? You need to vote.
People didn't vote. So we statistically what happens is when the more people go out there to vote, it favors progress and Democrats. So we need to, like, start getting voter turnout now. I think, like, we need to start a campaign that every person is responsible for getting, what, 5 new voters? And you are responsible for getting them to the polls. You're going to get their phone number, and you're going to remind them a week ahead, hey, don't forget you're going to vote next week. You know, the day before, do you know how you're going to vote? Do you know where your polling station is?
We're
all responsible for getting 5 new voters out there.
I got a tagline already.
What?
Nag the vote.
Yes. Yeah. Like, literally, that is great. Nag it up.
Nag that vote. Is important, y'all. I mean, we need to get behind some real politicians, because I'm seeing you guys on Facebook. I see y'all with your Michelle Obama 2020. Michelle don't want to run for president.
And I don't want her to run.
I don't want her to run either. She's a beautiful person. She needs to go back and be a lawyer.
She doesn't want it. Don't make her do it. And she's more effective. Like, here's what I love is that she's more effective outside, because now she can say whatever the fuck she wants.
Yes.
She doesn't have to do any bipartisan, da da da.
Exactly.
She gets to actually be a real champion, you know, for the people. There are some positive potential folks coming up in the run. Did you hear about some positive gains we made?
Yes, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. She is half Indian, half black.
Mm-hmm.
She took over Barbara Boxer's seat in the Senate.
She's from the Bay Area too, I believe.
She is mad. She's dope. Well,
she's the best.
She actually was running against another Democrat because California is amazing, because whoever gets the most votes, regardless of party,
during the primaries,
it goes down to those final two. And that's really
Yeah.
Tammy Duckworth, she is Asian American. She was born, she's a Vietnam War vet, born in Thailand.
Shit. That's amazing.
Catherine Cortez Masto, first Latina.
Yes.
Then in the House of Representatives, there's some great, some other like Indian Americans. And I'm going to pronounce their name wrong. Ilhan Omar. She's the first Somali American legislator.
Yes.
And I believe she was a refugee.
Yeah. See, these are the people that we now need to rally behind.
And what I also love is that, like, you know, they're, because I think like, in politics, it's just been a bunch of, like, white old men, no matter, on both sides, a bunch of, like, old men. And so what I love is that there's, like, women of color who are stepping through the ranks. And I will say this, the Republican Party has been very, very dope over the past few years about their legacy. Because most of the young new senators and young House of Representative folks, they're Republicans, not Democrats. So what the Republicans are doing are planting their seeds of their party. Of, like, who these people are going to gain experience, and then, boom, into the White House. And we don't have...
We need to do that!
We don't have our future lined up.
We need to get some future people up in that shit.
Bernie Sanders is going to be 80 by the time the next election runs out, so he's not running again.
I mean, Bernie, I love you, but it's time to just take a... You and Michelle Obama are going to be stumping hard for our young blood.
Yeah. I think the thing that also happened is that, like, I think it was also just hurtful to see in the numbers, for me personally, just how many white voters stuck by Trump's rhetoric. And when I hear fucking, you know, I can't separate the art from the artist, so Candace Cameron, I've always been done with you, but I'm super never going to watch Fuller House ever because...
What did she say?
Well, she said something, and I think she mirrors what a lot of, you know, these white folks said, is that they voted on policy. And that breaks
That's not true.
But that breaks my heart because you can't separate this man's ideas. Like, he is spewing out hate for so many different people, saying he wants to separate, you know, families, that there are children who are crying. Children should not... have to care about politics. They should not. They shouldn't have to be this involved in any of this and stress out. And you can't just say that you're voting for policy because you can't separate those two things. You voted for things that are going to be anti-immigrant, anti-Latino, anti-LGBT, anti-women, anti-black.
Yes.
You voted for that.
Explain why you voted for it. And you gotta just, what it boils down to is you just want to be in a country filled with people that are exactly like you, white and Christian. And you know what? That will boil down to being blonde and blue-eyed. And you know what that boils down to? Scary-ass World War II Germany.
Yeah.
So let's watch your slippery slope, y'all. Yeah. Let's really watch it.
Because, yeah, and two things that you said that I want to touch on is that, like, it's like the inability to empathize with other people who are different from you, in that sense of seeing how life might be different for someone who's other than you, for these folks who just voted with Trump, and just not really caring or not really, I've never seen an election that people are this hurt by. Like it was tears in that room of thousands and thousands of people. And I'm glad that you brought that thing up about World War II because everybody, you know, my theme is stay fired up. I'm not like, it's beyond stay woke. It is stay fired up. I think we're all, I think we're all woke because, and mind you, Hillary Clinton.
We've been woken up.
Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote. So fuck you, Electoral College. So the majority of people who voted are on, I feel, the right side of history. And so we have to stay on this because we can't let this be between this, Brexit, and Putin. There's a worldwide dangerous shift of racism and isolationist and nationalism.
Yes,
I completely agree. We cannot let these moments be what the history books will say. That was the Archduke Ferdinand moment. Wasn't that?
And yes.
Well, right? That, I'm right on that? Did I get that right?
Yeah, you're right. Woo, yeah, you got this.
History man. Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, we can't let this be the Archduke Ferdinand moment where they can trace back to that moment in World War II that sparked World War II was, you know, some foreign dignitary or something. Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, and that was the moment that sparked all these other movements to happen. And so we have to stay on it. So Minority Corner is we're going to be looking a stern eye on Donald.
Oh, but not only Donald, but we're looking at all y'all out there supporting Donald too.
Yep.
And you know what? Like I always say, side-eye your heroes, but I'm going to side-eye everybody.
Yep.
Because I, for one, really want you guys who are upset on Facebook posting that you're crying, I want you to stay active like James said.
Yep.
You need to stay fired up. 2 months from now, yeah, you're going to be back with your post of your food and that kitten knocking around a ball and falling off a table.
Yep.
But you should also keep posting things that are happening around the nation, policies that you want changed.
Yep.
Start, keep donating to those causes that need support.
Volunteer your time. Knock on doors. Make phone calls. Because I will say, like, I think... You know, you look at it and it's sort of like, well, duh. Because look how he was, and he said this, he was driving numbers. The people that were so passionate. He had what we had back in 2008, passion.
Right.
Those people were fucking there. And you see them on their videos. They were ride or die fucking insane about this.
They were mad as hell and they wanted some change. And they, you know what? They got it.
And we didn't have that, but we did have that back in 2008. We had that like fiery, like, you know, I volunteered. I was hired to work for the campaign. But I didn't make any phone calls. I didn't knock on any doors. And so it's
neither
like,
did I.
And we had like, so it's like, you know what? This time around, we got to change that up. That we, because they stopped watching even Fox News. They went underground. They started listening to their conspiracy websites that were designed by Russians who were fucking infiltrated it and trolled it. They got trolled the fuck out. There's even like these like kids in basements in like Macedonia who were writing fake articles to get ad revenue from Google.
I hear you. Like, James, I hate to say this because, and I'm a part of it. We were smug. We were smug about this election. We saw Mr. You're Fired. He's orange. He's crazy. We were like, whatever. Ha, 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 ha. This is never going to happen. Well, guess what? We got too comfortable. Like they say, when you're driving, when you're a couple blocks from home, that's when you're at most dangerous of getting into a car accident because you're not paying attention. You're too comfortable. Yep. We stopped paying attention and we got too comfortable, even though the warning signs were out there. If you look back now, the warning signs were there. We were in a boiling pot of water. So now we are all woken up. We need to stay fired up.
We need to
stay proactive. We can't wallow in this shit. We need to, we need to do some shit. We got a short amount of time that they're going to fuck shit up. We need to fix it now. It's broken.
Yeah.
It's time to fix it.
I'm excited. And Neke, like you and I, like we, you'll be seeing Neke and I, we're going to stump. There might be 50 people in the audience, but Aneke and I will set up a little boombox and a karaoke machine.
Yes.
And we'll do a live episode of Minority Corner at some mall.
It's going to be lit. Even if there's three people, we're doing it for you. We're doing it for nobody right now.
Listen, you want us to go speak at your college campus or an elementary school classroom? I'll try to tone down my swearing and I'll do it.
I can read a book elementary style.
We will do it. Minority Corner is a diehard place of we've just, you know, we're here. We do our popular culture and our social stuff. We're also an activist podcast from this moment forward. We are... in it to win it. Can I read you a quote that, from Coretta Scott King?
Please, I would love to hear it.
So as we continue marching forward in this and, moving forward, you know, she says, freedom is never really won. You earn it and win it in every generation.
Yes.
And this is our moment.
Yes.
And something else that Kamala Harris said in her speech, she actually quoted, I'm actually stealing both of these from her speech, Kamala Harris.
Hey.
Because she quoted Coretta Scott King.
And love it.
I think she said this too. She says, it is the very nature of this fight for civil rights and justice and equality that whatever gains we make, they will not be permanent. So we must be vigilant. Do not despair. Do not be overwhelmed. Do not throw up our hands when it is time to roll up our sleeves and fight for who we are.
Ugh, I love it.
We've done this before. Look at what happened when Prop 8 passed. We came back and now we have a fucking federal law of the land.
Exactly.
That Pence wants to repeal, but we stay on them. We don't. This is our country.
Yes.
We have fought for it for years, and we thought we were going to be able to watch Netflix for the next 4 years and just look at those cat videos.
No.
No. It's way more now. It's time to stay active, stay fired up, stay awake, and stay on it. It is not time to go to sleep, you know, watch some cat videos, but go right back to the actual work that you need to do.
Amen. And I get it. Some of y'all are sad. Some of you are broken down. And like I said before, this is the first time that you're noticing that the country has let you personally down. And you need to prepare. You need to take care of yourself. Take a bath. Drink that glass of wine. Go bathe out in the forest. Like, I think in Japan, they have, like, forest bathing where you can go out in the forest and feel the earth.
Do that.
Do that.
Also, have sex.
Have sex. Well, safe. Protective.
Oh, yeah.
But after that's done, come back and get ready to work.
Yeah. Go to work. Because like you said, too, the echo chambers that Facebook, what also happened is that a lot of us, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of you who had uncles and cousins who were voting for Trump and you didn't want to offend them on Facebook or you're tired of seeing what they had to say, you unfriended them. And so they had no checks. They had no balances. There was no, we've gotten afraid to have these uncomfortable conversations with folks. And
yes. So
you got to get back out there, reconnect, and troll them. You can have 4 years trolling the fuck out of them because they did that for the past 8 years. Because this wasn't my uncle. This wasn't my dad, my neighbor. These were not my people. So white folks, you got to get on this. Rein it in. Okay? While at the same time really just focusing and strengthening our own base, because if we stay as fired, they were fired up, they stayed fired up the entire time, and that's what happened. So we have to do the same. Like you already said, we're going to go to work.
You know what, James? I love you.
I love you,
this
too.
This is good.
I love you. I felt... Aneke and I, like, we moved heaven and hell to get this podcast done for this week for you all. Because we knew that we needed to... Aneke's in a car right before she goes to work.
I'm in my parking lot at work. I'm seeing my coworkers drive up, looking at me crazy, talking in this car.
It is the day before we're supposed to launch this baby, but we are determined to be here. For this podcast is it always has meant something, but I think now more than
so
ever...
Much.
It does this. This is your space, and this is our
place. Yes, because we are a community, and more. We need to band together and really stay strong and support one another. And if we can, if me and James can provide that support that you need, we're gonna do it.
Yep. Yeah, we're here for you. Well, let's get into our veterans. What I love about this episode, I feel like it is truly into what America really is. And I feel like this is, you know, this is our country and we built it. This is ours. And so let's get into the foundation of who these American people are. So you're talking about the natives.
Yes, I'm talking about Native Americans and their work in World War II.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, we're back. We're in my corner now, and my corner is basically Native American Kick-Ass during World War II corner.
Dope. That's the best title ever. Can I get American? Wait, no. Native Americans Kick-Ass in World War II.
True Americans, true Americans. Okay, so basically, I'm bringing this topic up. One, I wanted to talk about this topic before the election, but I think it's even more important now because clearly people don't understand that other races and peoples live here and deserve to be here. And I am arguing to say that Native Americans more than ever need to be treated right because this is their fucking land.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna read some facts.
I love facts, and like it's like, okay. Oh wait, you mean that we shouldn't just, you know, wear their Indian headdresses to Halloween parties and continue murdering them?
Hillary Duff, I'm looking at you. You and your stank ass boyfriend and your dumbass costumes for Halloween, dressing up like a pilgrim and a Native American. Y'all, stop it.
You knew better. Like it's and you, there's no excuse at this point. Like. If you were above the age of, I will say, be lenient and say 19, there was no excuse.
Even then, come on.
Well, that goes back to, we need to, like, better educate our children then, because education is failing them, and that's what leads to elections like what we have now.
Yes. Okay. So, it is estimated that there were approximately 1 million Native Americans that lived in the United States, what is considered the United States, when Christopher Columbus arrived.
Okay.
In 1940, the population was at 350,000.
That's weird for populations to go down and not up.
Right?
Significantly.
We say that for another day. But of 350,000, 44,000 Native Americans saw military service during World War II.
Interesting.
So Native Americans made a greater per capita contribution to the war than any other group in America.
So they, like, they served up. They were like, here we go.
Yes, yes. Serve themselves. They're Americans.
Yeah.
So even some of the awards that were won, Lieutenant Ernest Childers from the Creek tribe, Lieutenant Jack Montgomery from Cherokee, and Lieutenant Van Barfoot of the Choctaw, they all received the Congressional Medals of Honor.
Awesome.
Selective Service reported that in 1942, 99% of all Native Americans who were eligible for the draft, which were healthy men between the age of 21 and 44, 99% of that group registered for the draft.
Wow.
Right? That's... So 99% of all Native American men between the ages of 21 and 44 that were healthy registered for the draft. So they were ready. Ready to fight.
And I don't think that you had that with any other demographic.
No, people were like fucking going to Canada to avoid the draft. Absolutely. And shit.
And you know what, like, especially, like, here's the thing. I will never blame a black person for not wanting to fight, and I'll explain this into my section as well. But, you know, when you're kidnapped from your home and then forced to fight for your kidnappers, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
But, like, you know.
And also, like, these are the people who stole your land and killed you, and you're fighting for the country. Like.
Yeah, that's huge.
Making you live on a reservation. Well, not making you. I mean, there's a sense of pride on reservations, but.
But, like, this is. But also, relegating you to this reservation of, like, okay, I'm going to take all of this land over here. You see all of this. And then this is you right over here. Just stay right in here.
Right. And then come fight for us.
And then, like, oh, and then give me all your casino money.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? And then listen to this. In 1944, it's estimated that Native Americans purchased close to $50 million in bonds. Now, war bonds are basically a thing that helps stimulate the economy. So everybody was encouraged to buy a war bond. And it's at a lower price. And then over time, it increases to the full amount. It matures. But that's basically you buy that to stimulate the economy. It's so that we get extra money for our economy. And Native Americans contributed $50 million. Like, that...
Damn. And that's... Also consider their population, right?
Right.
Like, the amount of people that they had and that they were able to... That they were able to and chose to contribute to a culture and country that fucking murdered them.
Exactly. An estimated... 2,500. An estimated 2,500 Navajos participated in the construction of Fort Wingate Ordnance Depot in New Mexico. The Pueblo tribe assisted with building the naval supply in Utah, and Alaskan tribes were engaged in territory defense. So not only were Native Americans fighting abroad, but on homeland, they were helping us build several different forts, engaging in territory defense, protecting the land, and really pumping us up. Meanwhile, this is land that was stolen from them.
Yeah, right.
And then we're going into the thing that everybody generally kind of knows. In World War I, the U.S. used the Choctaw language to send messages so Germans couldn't decode it. And they liked this method so much that by World War II, the Marines enlisted bilingual Navajo speakers to serve as their standard communications unit. So that means that the Navajo language was used to code messages because you know, people abroad, like in Europe and such, didn't know these languages, so they couldn't decode them. Other languages that were used were also the Lakota, the Meskwaki, and the Comanche. So they literally helped us send coded, highly important messages that we wouldn't normally have been able to do. And I want to really bring this up because I couldn't handle it during watching the World Series, that we have mascots of people in horrible, horrible characters, people with their faces painted red, people chanting, pounding drums out in the stadium like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You guys, this points to how our country has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pot boiling, like I was saying before. If you support that baseball team, you are okay with racism.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, there is this big protest going on with the North Dakota Access Pipeline, and this is water for people, water for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind you guys that the reason that this pipeline is going through the reservation is because the white people in the area didn't want it going through their towns.
Right. Yep.
So clearly, we have a problem.
Yeah. Well,
and we need to look at this. These are Americans. And I really want to highlight World War II.
Yeah.
Because this is supposed to be the greatest generation. And we think about all of these older white people, white men in particular, fighting for America. But no, it was diverse. And you're about to get into it on your segment, too, with the black populations that fought, that were segregated, that were mistreated for our country. It is time to pay back.
Yeah.
When it's making America great again, you need to realize that it's all of us that made America great first place.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just going to put this out there. And this is another thing that I'm done toying around with is white fragility. I'm done. I'm done tiptoeing around that. I'm just done because we're being way too affected by it. And I feel like it sucks because the minorities always have to be like the bigger person, always have to be
right.
The forgiving person. And we do it constantly. And we have to empathize with the other side. Like, fuck that. Like, get on board or not. Because
yes.
Minorities, all do band together, we've got the numbers. And we just need to see bigger unification of that. And then allies, hey, jump on board, want your support too. But I'm no longer feeling like our movements need to be dependent upon that white support and understanding. Like, there's some people just never gonna get it. And going back to the thing about, you know, with the mascot, it's like, this is a great way and opportunity for what I'm saying, that like, we need to stay fired up and then shut shit down. This is like,
yes.
We have to stay on top of this because I think the reason why there's been so much progress underneath the Obama administration is because you had leadership that supported that, supported dialogue and conversation around this. So we can't let that stop. And we have to, like, shut down these, like, microaggressions. We have to shut down these, like, mildly sort of, like, racist things when we see them. And then the other thing I want to touch on that you said you were talking about is that, like, another great example, like, using the natives, like, language to be able to have this like secret code of like, it's like in one thing, it's sort of like, it's just another example again of like, I wouldn't say it's like, white folks love to steal things from other, you know, they love to take things from other cultures, which
Columbus it,
which can be great, you know, and this is a great example of like why diversity benefits everyone, because you have different cultures who have different technologies, different ways of thinking about things, and it makes things for the better. If you didn't have the natives, white folks wouldn't, like, we wouldn't have had that, right? But then it's like when you take it and then you just cast them aside and like, all right, we're done with that, or not wanting to give celebration of like, man, if it wasn't for this language, we would have been fucked. So thank you, natives.
Right.
And we're going to give back and support and love you.
I can't handle it. This is why I'm so glad we have this podcast so we could talk about this shit. Y'all, everybody get involved. Find these stories. Share these stories. because this is how change comes.
Yeah, we need it in like the I don't know if there is fine. Let's find that petition as well for maybe someone can post this into the Minority Corner Kids Facebook group. If you haven't joined that already, please join.
Oh yeah, the playground.
And join the playground.
Join our Facebook and the playground.
Yeah, and so you can whoever can we find that petition to shut. I know there's got to be one around already. Let's get a petition. For that going and sign that. I also
for the baseball team?
For the baseball team, shutting that baseball team down. I also
fuck that shit. Yeah. Fuck that shit. It's so racist. I can't handle it.
And like just how like nuanced it is and that people don't even as a kid I didn't really think twice about it, but of course, because in cartoons and stuff you see these caricatures and these stereotypes and of course. I also want to, is there a petition for Donald, for Donald's, I will never call him anything else except Donald from now on, by the way. They fucking disrespected President Barack Obama for 8 years, and I get to do that. I'm gonna troll the shit out of it.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be so, I mean, the fact that we get to make fun of, really get some art. Some good political commentary. We get to band together. We get to protest. Mm-hmm. We need this to keep us fired.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to see Donald's fucking tax returns. Do we get to see those now? Do we get to?
No.
I want to see those. Is he? Does he just not get to release those? I need to see those. I need to see him. So let's get that petition going. I want to see the Donald's.
Yes. Yes.
Tax fucking returns.
I'm ready for your corner. I'm fired.
Oh, Anek is fired up. All right, well, let's continue the celebration of veterans. Thank you. And so thank you to all Native veterans. Thank you for your work throughout history and through you are what made America great.
Yes. All right. James.
History of black folks in the military.
America. Black people in the military.
Black veterans. This is for you. So my friend Gavin, who my best friend Gavin was in town from Europe. He's British, but he lives in Barcelona. And so he was here for the Hillary Clinton victory party. That did not happen. And but he had just experienced Brexit, you know, so he's
My God.
And he's still like it's so similar of what happened to Brexit and the demographics of people that voted for Brexit. Like, and the warning signs were there. Again, the warning signs were there that this was going to happen in America. And everyone even said, the British said, be warned, we didn't think this would happen here. So America, and like, we didn't take it seriously.
We didn't fucking listen.
Didn't fucking listen.
We're like, whatever.
I should have known. I should have started started knocking on some doors, calling some folks right then and there. But one thing that he did say is that, like, you know, our news reports are always like, election 2016, da-da-da-da-da, boom. It's so dramatic. Yeah. And he said in England it would just be like, elections 2016. Like, it's just, we're so dramatic over here in America.
Because we're nuts. We're America. Everything has to be like tits in a bikini on a fucking Metallica gun, like fucking
explosions,
tank.
Eagles.
America!
It's intense. We're big. But I wanted to do a special veterans episode. I was talking to Aneke about this because I
feel like a lot of times people think that, for one, liberals, that we don't think about our troops. I feel like there's a stigma about that.
Yeah, there is.
Whereas many of us are not necessarily pro-war, that we want to go off to war, but we do still support our troops.
Yes.
And many of us have either had family members out there. There's a strong history.
My husband's a veteran.
Yeah. She's married to a veteran.
Yes. And
specifically black folks.
Oh, he's not black, though.
I know. But I just have been so curious as to what is the, you know, history behind black folks being involved in the military. Because I remember that my great uncle, he served and died in World War II.
Shit, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so wanting to do an episode in support and love of our troops here. who they go off and they fight, which
yes.
it allows for, you know, Aneke and I to have this podcast where she's in her car and I'm at my house and we're able to link together and have this place where we can voice freedoms. And I think in our own way.
Thank you for our freedom.
Yes, like they're doing the actual like physical fighting and we're doing like the conversational right. fighting. Like we're on the ground in
a
different
way.
I like
that. Thanks. I will take that pat on the back.
We're all doing our part.
We are.
So I'm just curious about like
some a little bit harder than others.
This is true. I'm not gonna say that. Yeah, you're living in tents and it's, you know, and you've seen shit. You've seen some shit.
We're James and I are very comfortable.
Yeah, pretty comfortable. I've got a little. My neck hurts a little bit. I think I slept funny, but other than that, yeah, uh-oh. It's different.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of cramped in this car, but I'm all right.
okay. Yes, exactly. So thank you. So going to the history of Black folks, because I think that it's been a very interesting. And so when I say like, this is our country and I want people to stay fired up. And I think there's a lot of sometimes Black folks and minorities feel apathy about this, about, you know, America and what it stands for. And I'm just really in this point of like, fuck no. I've got literally an American flag right here that I picked up at the Hillary Clinton rally.
James is waving this shit. James is waving
I've
that flag.
I've never waved a flag before until that night and they passed around flags. It's very difficult. It's all in the wrist. My flag kept getting tangled up.
It is. It's very, yeah. It's almost like you need to make a figure eight. You yeah. need to.
I just started like just shaking it and it gets tangled. So I had to. It was...
Yeah. You know what? You bring up a good point because I know a lot of you, and I've had that impulse before too, to be like anti-America, fuck America now. No.
No.
You need to get extra patriotic. Hella, like, you are fucking American.
This is our country.
This is your country, yeah. and you are taking it fucking back.
Yes. And also, I want to, we're far away from the corner, but I just also want to put a kibosh in this for any white folks who are like, I'm going to Canada. Go, no. No, you're not. You're going to stay
yeah,
here.
Yeah, dig your fucking heels in and stay American and fight for your fucking country.
Exactly. We've been doing it for generations and they don't want us here, but we've been fucking doing
yes.
it.
Yes.
So you're going to sit your ass down and you're going to fucking fight. So you shut that shit down. No Canada for you. If Aneke and I want...
Canada don't want
if
us.
If Aneke and I, we want... If we want to take our show to and record in Canada, we can do that. But y'all need to fucking sit here and stay here. We're not going to. Yet,
no.
depending on how crazy things no. get. We might have to flee for our safety, and that's different. But y'all need to stick around or create a firewall of safety around us. We need a firewall, white folks, around the minorities to save us because they won't shoot you.
Yes, help us out. Yeah. Protect us.
All right. So, Black folks, and people also forget, slavery existed for 600 years. Like, it was around for...
That's a long-ass time, y'all.
Long-ass fucking time. So, back in, like, the 1500s, Black, there's like the first mm-hmm. Black person like came to America on this like trip through Cuba. It was through Ponce yeah. de Navarez. He led an expedition, and it was in a lot of these expeditions that also happened, like same thing like Lewis and Clark. It was always a good thing mm-hmm. that they had a Black person with them because in a lot of these Native tribes, they viewed people with like after they went to war, Natives they would rub charcoal on them. And so it meant that you were very brave. And so they were so mesmerized by Black people because they were so dark. And that for them, it meant that they were just so such a brave and strong and powerful figure.
Cool, I'll take it.
Interesting thing. So around 1619, those slaves arrived here in the Americas from English, yeah. French, Dutch, Spanish, all the European colonies. And what was here when all those colonies were here? When they arrived, who was here?
Native Americans.
The Natives. So they needed to fight them. And who did they have fight alongside with them?
Oh, shit.
The black slaves.
People. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
So we have actually fought on every side. I won't go into all the different wars, but we have been on every side. And that's why when I say this is our fucking land, we have fought for everybody.
Yeah.
We have fought for the English. We have fought for the French. We have fought for the Spanish. We've even been teamed up with some of the... We've done some Native team-ups.
Yes.
We have literally fought for every single side. Our blood is all over this fucking soil.
Yes.
A lot of times there was different sort of debates on whether or not some of the countries were a little bit more hesitant to allow Blacks to fight because they were a little terrified of like, well, if we give them guns, what then might happen?
Oh,
so they were afraid.
Long debate that started forever now.
Right. So they were afraid of different votes of different like sort of rise ups. You know, in 1730, Blacks made up about 17% of the French force that took out some of the Natives. Sadly,
that's a lot.
We had presence. We were we were very much around here and fighting on these sides. Now, we go to the American Revolution. By the time of the American Revolution, 20% of the colonial population of the 22 million were black.
Mm-hmm.
At the dawn of the American Revolution.
Whoa, that's a lot!
Which is weird, because now we make up 13% of the population.
Where'd we go?
What?
Oh, I think people just surpassed us. More people came.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. Okay, I guess. All right. Yeah. All right. So in 1775, you had the Black Minutemen who fought at Lexington and Concord. But again, it was like the conversation of should they be part of the regular army. And actually, originally, so blacks were on the American side. Blacks were not.
Mm-hmm.
We did not fight at first. They didn't let us fight at first because they were terrified of what might happen if we were to fight. So, but on the British side, so they had like the king had a big announcement. He was called for, you know, servants, Negroes, rebels, who are free willing to bear arms to join His Majesty's troops. What I think is interesting, he never mentioned slaves, and it makes me think that it makes me think that I honestly do wish that America lost the American Revolution.
I don't know. They had slaves over there.
But it was different. I think slavery would have ended much sooner. Because
when did slavery end in England?
It was a different... And they also just didn't have, the source of, plantations and whatnot.
Shit was fucked up over here. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. But I do think, I think... America held on to slavery for dear life because their economy depended upon it.
And just wonder out loud about something?
Yeah.
How do you call somebody a slave and feel okay with yourself? Just the word slave. Jesus Christ, people!
Right. Well, but they also, and I'm not sure if this is because England had slavery ended. I'm pretty sure. Maybe someone can put this on, put this out there. But slavery ended, and they I don't think it went on as long as it did here, as long as it did here in the U.S. Maybe it's because they just didn't have the plantations or whatnot. But it did not last as long. And it also, there was more of a way that you could work for your freedom in different colonies, because as we go on here, you're going to hear that there was more free blacks in the French territories and the Spanish territories,
right?
Even in the British territories, there was more of a chance or opportunity for people to, I guess. I mean, it all still fucking sucks, but
yeah, and there's still racism over there. I mean, look at Brexit, but still.
Yes, well, but British racism is different because in Europe in general, the racism is more so focused towards Muslims, which is still fucking shitty and terrible. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
So eventually,
I just looked it up.
What?
The UK ended slavery in 1807.
Oh,
a good 50 years before we did.
So that's what I'm saying. I really wish that America lost the Revolutionary War, because I think England was coming to terms with wait a minute. I don't think we should really do this anymore. You know? So I think that was a mistake. But here we are. So Washington eventually was like, all right, let's see if these black people can fight. And, you know, they did.
God.
Let's see, about approximately 5,000 black soldiers had served in the colonial army.
Wow.
And so many had actually even garnered honors and praise from their commanders. So
here's my question though.
Yeah.
Did they go back to slavery after?
I think if you fought, if you fought, you were granted your freedom.
Okay, good, because that'd be fucked up. If they're like, thanks, okay, now go pick that shit.
If you fought, you garnered your freedom. And I believe that was sort of like a pull for on the British side. They were like, we might end slavery. There was more of a pull to fight for them because of their views on slavery.
Hey, I mean, fuck it, I'd go over there.
Yeah. So, So in the American Revolution, you know, it brought some gains to specific blacks who had participated. Some who were slaves and were freed, and others received land grants for their service. On a whole, contributions of black Americans were soon forgotten by society at large. Although blacks died and gave brave, honorable service, none were given recognition or declared to be national heroes. So a lot of throughout these histories in the next war, even like the War of 1812, blacks kept fighting in these wars, but over time, people forgot that blacks had fought. And so then it would be back to the conversation of like, well, they can't fight. Well, for one, they'd revolt against us. Or two, people just didn't believe that we were capable of doing it. Because remember, they're still thinking this as less than. They didn't think they would be able to follow orders and to be able to fight and take up arms. Yeah.
We were literally slaves. That's all we did was follow orders and do hard work.
Yeah.
That's insulting.
So then, but in 1803, what was really interesting is, so then, like, in 1803, when the U.S. purchased Louisiana, had, like, you know, these little militias within themselves of these, like, free blacks who were running these, like, French militias. But then, when Louisiana became a part of the U.S., and they're like, hey, we're ready to fight for you, and they were like, no. No, you can't. You can't fight. You're black.
What?
And so these people who had already been fighting and free under the French Louisiana were told that they couldn't fight. But in the 1812, they're like, oh wait, we need you. They allowed for the battalion of free men of color was formed, even though back in 1803 they were rejected. So they allowed them to come back.
Y'all fickle.
And we fucking like saved the day. We fucking like that battalion saved the day. We provided one of the worst defeats to the British had suffered in years.
Wow.
And it fucked them up psychologically, and it gave Americans a huge boost in confidence. But black folks were not allowed to march in the parade celebrating victory.
So, see, that's some petty ass bullshit right there. That's like, thank you for helping us out. Nah, don't march.
Nope, sorry. And also, we're gonna need that gun back. So then in the 1816...
This is making me mad.
This is why I say this is our fucking country, because not only did we build it, we fucking fought for it. Right? Oh, and that's how fucking forgiven black people are. We keep saying, like, oh, like, we're just, that's how dope we are. We are magical fucking unicorns. But as we forgive and we march forward. So then this 1816 to 1814 was the Seminole Wars, or the Seminole Indians. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. The Seminole Indians.
Yeah, the Seminole tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were down in Florida. So Florida was like, I think like England and Spain had control over the Florida region. And so blacks were like fleeing the Americas, because again, it was better to be in France or Spain as a black person than it was, this is why I'm saying, should have lost the American Revolutionary War. So they were going down to Florida.
I'm shaking my head.
They were going down to Florida and they were fleeing, and like Georgian slave owners were pissed. And they're like, you give us back our slaves. And like Spain and France were like, no, they're here now, so we're not going to do anything about it. So then there was a quote-unquote Negro fort that was close to Georgia. So this is an interesting incident where blacks and the Seminole Indians had teamed up and formed like this like other culture down in Florida.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. And this was like always one of their fears, is that like, you know, blacks and Indians would team up. So they always, I think we're always trying to pit us like against each other. And they had held off pretty hugely, but eventually obviously ended up losing, and blacks had then fleed to Mexico or to other Indian territories, or some were returned back to their owners after that. So it just makes me also wonder, like, man, where is like the population of like black and Native Americans down in Florida? Like, they must have just really gotten, I guess, wiped out, because you would then think that Florida.
There's a bunch of not in Florida, but all throughout America, there's been several different cases where black people have that. There are black Native Americans, definitely.
Well, I could see it. They had fucking teamed up and did hella good. So then we get to the Civil War back in 1861, and once again, they didn't want blacks to fight. And they thought, and everybody thought it would be short, and Frederick Douglass was like, y'all, this war is gonna go on for a good while. and what happened is that just certain generals started having, I think General John C. Fremont issued a proclamation of emancipation in 1861 to allow blacks to fight. General David Hunter raised a regiment of black troops on the Sea Islands. And Senator James H. Lane accepted blacks in two Kansas volunteer units. And then in Cincinnati, there was a black brigade that was raised to build fortifications in 1862. This was all against Lincoln's administration. Lincoln did not want blacks to fight. Abolition was not really a concern about the North, but the South was using blacks to support their armies. So the South wasn't allowing blacks to fight, but they were like, you know, using us as like, you know, to make food and to prepare weapons. And so it had...
Probably target practice too, sick fucks.
Yep. And it had to strengthen their army because they had this free labor to, you know, help support their army. So we were getting our asses kicked. And it took... And here's the thing. Because everybody forgot the blacks had fought in all of these other wars throughout history. Nobody thought we could do it because they forgot. Because everyone is stupid. Because people... Americans like to forget history. So here's what it took to get George... To get Abraham Lincoln to allow for blacks to fight. You're going to like this part. To allow for blacks to fight in the Civil War. It took George Moore. Do you know about George Moore? George Moore was a librarian and an activist.
Yes! Yes!
He single-handedly saved the Civil War. George Moore, a librarian activist, showed Abraham Lincoln a pamphlet.
Oh, my God.
To prove to Lincoln and others that blacks had fought in the American Revolutionary War. Because before this...
This is stupid.
Before this...
This is so dumb.
Many people didn't think that blacks could fight or would fight.
Hey, look at that black person pulling like 10 hours out in the sun, shucking in a jiving, pulling shit, doing all this work, getting his back whipped.
Yeah.
We were doing... some hard ass shit.
Yeah.
And white people were like, nah, they can't fight.
Yeah, we can't, no. Like, it took someone, a librarian, to show Lincoln a pamphlet to change his mind. So
what did the pamphlet say? Was it like, choose black?
I don't know. They were like, yeah, I don't know. Like, they were just some, like, different, like, you know, history of corporals. So we're like, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So by 1864, black folks made up 10% of the Union strength. And again, in a lot of these wars, we made up a lot of the Navy. We were on ships. We were like, so we went back into, like, the Navy, who was short on manpower.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So by 1865, by the end of the war, 37,000 black soldiers had died.
Wow. Well,
it's about 35% of all blacks who had served in combat died. And so people had felt like, you know, this toll reflected that the black units had served. We had been in every occupation, every, you know, in every aspect of it.
Wow.
And we had different specific black regiments. And this is the thing that's going to continue on through World War II, which I'm actually just going to kind of speed up and breeze through. But what ends up happening is that we start having specific black regiments.
Yeah.
And we're not trained.
Segregated.
We're segregated. Then what happens is that we're not trained well. We have shitty equipment. And then people are just like, see, those blacks, they're not good. They can't fight.
They forgot again.
And then they also makes us look bad because they're like, well, see, I told you they couldn't fight, but we're not trained and we don't have any sort of equipment. And so then as you come to like Reconstruction period, like, you know, a lot of these blacks, they would think like, oh, we're going to be united. And people, you know, thought of us, they didn't think any that much differently than us. They're like, okay, you're free now. But, you know, people weren't treated as like war heroes or anything like that.
This is so
the first
up.
Black American to receive the Medal of Honor during the campaigns. There's still like, you know, other campaigns after during the Reconstruction period. Sergeant Emanuel Stantz was the first black American to receive the Medal of Honor.
Oh,
he was sadly found in Nebraska with 4 bullet wounds on a road in Crawford. And people think
probably
by his own men. Because he was like, he was a sergeant. And people think that he turned against him. So then as you move through, you know, there's the Spanish-American War. We did fight throughout that. The U.S. did keep like a few different, the black regiments. There was six of the 67 regiments after the Civil War were black groups. We maintained some of our own sort of regiments. And I bet these people were fucking, you know, so proud. Like they, you know, they fucking fought for their country and they definitely took, you know. In World War I, it was still doubted that blacks could fight. Again, people just weren't sure if we could. When they did allow us, we were under-trained, poorly equipped. We were sent off to battle in France, sometimes with, like, the French. We were just dubbed inept because, you know, like I said, the same thing happened.
Yeah.
Only about 10% of the blacks were assigned to combat units during World War I. It saw the largest, World War I saw the largest number of blacks in commissioned grades since the entry of blacks into the army. So then we get to World War II, which you talked about, you know, just again, the same sort of theme just continued to happen. There was a high amount of blacks that were drafted in World War II, and are the proportions, yeah. So there was always, I guess, been this like proportion that, you know, there had to be this 10% quota of like blacks in the military, and we were actually about 8 to 9% in those ranks. We won several awards that World War II, but you just still had like the same sort of segregation thing that happens. And but this is where the Tuskegee Airmen came through World War II.
Yes.
It was a bit of an experiment.
Love it.
And it had a tremendous success. So this is like the Air Force. So they had like specific schools at the Tuskegee Institute, I think it was called. Yeah. It was a specific school for just blacks to learn, to train, and to fight. And they ended up doing it exceptionally well.
Good. Finally, we got some good training. Jesus.
Yeah, finally. And so it was, you know, proven that, you know, that blacks could actually, you know, fight in the war with some proper ass training.
Only took 100 years.
Yeah.
For people to realize that shit.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we then fought in all the other wars, from the Korean conflict to Vietnam. And Vietnam saw a disproportionate number of blacks were drafted. You know, we were like 16% of those drafted and only... We were 16% of those drafted and only 11% of the population. So that's weird.
Wow.
And even now, like, they tend to, like, you know, sort of target sort of black communities to join the military.
Yeah, they do.
Because there's a... And to almost like, you know, you guys go fight for this country. So now they want us to fight. And there's a history of us, you know, oh, well, we don't think you can fight, even though we could. We did. We were used to. And so we fought and died for every aspect of this country.
With little to no recognition or even memory that we had served or support, equal treatment, nothing.
Like, this is...
We put our damn time in.
This is our country. For centuries,
yes,
we have been fighting for this.
We made America great.
We did. It was us. So
from before it was America, we've been making this damn place great.
Absolutely. And so I just wanted to, like, you know, black folks, you get to wave that flag that this is, we've been here. We were here before it was even America.
Yes.
Not as long as the natives, but, you know, we've, like you said, we put our time in, and this is our country. And these are just stories that you just, you know, you never hear about. There's a really good movie, Glory, if you guys haven't seen it. Did you ever see Glory?
Of course I did. Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. It's about the Civil War. It's about one of the black, it was like one of the all... Matthew Broderick, isn't it, too?
He is, but he's, like, not playing... I think he plays a bad guy.
Kind of. He tries to... He, like, comes around or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's, like, Denzel Washington's, like, when he busted on the scene.
Yes, and Dwayne from A Different World, I believe, is in it.
Oh, Dwayne Wayne?
Dwayne Wayne from A Different World. I know that's not his real name, but he's all up in it. That's a really good movie about, you know, blacks serving up in the Civil War. We were here.
It's a good one.
So happy Veterans Day to, I would say, every black person. Y'all celebrate Veterans Day because someone along your ancestral line bled and died for this country.
Yeah. Wave that flag.
Wave that flag. Fucking wave it.
And in fact, you can sing that hokey ass, proud to be an American. That is like our song. That is black people's song.
That is our jam. That is our jam. I want to hear it. I want to play dance to it in the club. I'm going to be like, hey,
yeah,
DJ.
Yeah, we need a dance track.
We do.
Proud to be an American.
Work it out. Get it. Ha. Ooh. Where are people at? Yeah. This is a remix. Missy. Ow. Get some Patti LaBelle on there.
I had no idea that we've been fighting and also been doubted for our fight capabilities for so long.
So thank you once again, librarian, saving the day.
With his damn pamphlet.
With a pamphlet. I imagine him. Imagine him running up to Lincoln. Wait, no, Mr. Lincoln, I have
this.
A pamphlet.
Look
a pamphlet,
this.
You say?
A pamphlet? The pamphlet says so. Let them fight.
And I love it. The librarian probably, like, either found that pamphlet, like someone made a pamphlet about blacks in the military.
Who the fuck?
Or the librarian was like, Lincoln will only listen to it if it's a pamphlet. So he made one.
This pamphlet is legit. Lincoln loves himself a pamphlet. I'm about to show him this pamphlet that says, say yes to black from the American Revolution.
For the, right from the American Revolution. They did. Oh, like people just couldn't remember. So this is why it's important for us to remember our history, because I think this is what happens when people who vote for Donald Trump, I think they just kind of forget that, like, even young people, like, they just forget, like, what segregation really was, or what racism really was, or that, like, all these, like, you know, Republicans who want to tout Martin Luther King, they fucking hated him. They did not think he was a hero. They were afraid of him, and they hated him, and they only like to quote the pretty quotes, but they don't quote the quotes where he was actually like, you know, white people, you are fucked up, and you need to quit this shit.
They fucking called him a terrorist. He was a terrorist during the time.
Absolutely. So,
let's remember our history. One, black people, this is your country. Thank you, James. Two, always listen to your librarians, especially if they have a pamphlet.
Especially if they have a pamphlet.
Three, don't fucking forget history.
Don't forget it. And this goes back to everything, like, we're talking about, because we're, like, the history could be repeating itself. So we have to, actually, we have the opportunity to learn from history. Like, what, we know exactly where we are in history, and things can go one direction or another direction, which is why we have to stay fired up.
Stay fired up. This fired me the fuck up.
Yeah, awesome.
Minority Corner.
Anything. Welcome to our new segment, Ask Minority Corner Anything. People actually asked us things.
I am so proud of you guys, and the questions are beautiful. It's so freaky deaky to hear your guys' voices. And also, good job pronouncing my name.
Yeah, wonderful. Y'all did really good. So I'm going to play the first one. It's from Kyle Sullivan. And let's go to Kyle Sullivan for his question.
Hey, Aneka and James. In episode 54, you plugged some awesome podcasts and quipped that they help counterbalance all of the podcasts by white guys playing Dungeons & Dragons, which is so true. But as a corner kid who also likes Dungeons & Dragons, I started thinking in more general terms about fantasy and escapism and privilege and how those ideas might relate to each other. On one hand, it seems some people use escapism to consume myopic garbage media that doesn't teach them anything new and ignores real-world issues. On the other hand, sometimes escapism can be a form of self-care, and fantasy can even be constructive when it helps people explore complex ideas like power and marginalization, or gives representation to people who don't normally have it. So marinating on all of that, would you two mind sharing your thoughts on escapism and the role it's played in your lives? What sort of trends do you notice in pop culture? I'm talking all kinds of movies, shows, books, or games, whatever comes to mind, even podcasts. Sincerely, I love what you do on the show. Thanks.
All right. Awesome. Wow. What a great first question.
So oh, talking my God, about- Kyle, you are the best.
Yeah. It's also just a I like consume myopic garbage in the media. That was pretty dope, too.
You educate. Excuse me.
So, yeah, how, I guess, escapism from, like, all kinds of, like, science fiction to even, like, Dungeons and Dragons type stuff. I mean, I'm a kid who used to play, like, Power Rangers. Like I used to LARP, live action, actual role play, like, Power Rangers, like, hardcore when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. There's some LARPing on campus here at the school that I work at where they have big old foam weapons and they fight each other. And that, they seem to get a lot of enjoyment out of that. So I'm no shame in the game. I love it. Feed your imagination.
And Aneka and I are huge fans of science fiction. I can speak for both of us on that. And,
yes, you can.
I love it. I think it's actually a very powerful tool, science fiction in general, to actually get people to have conversations about things that they're too uncomfortable. And it's actually like something I'm going to get I'm a theater arts major. My theater theory talks about this. There's the V effect. So Bertolt Brecht has this theory called the V effect, where he talks about wanting to alienate the audience. So you need to alienate the audience if you're having a story. And so what that means is push them away in some way. Because if you set, like, let's say if I want to have a conversation about racism, if I set it to today's, to everything that's happening to today, Some people are going to be off-put by that because it's too close to home. It makes them feel uncomfortable. It's too real. But yeah. if I set things on a different planet, you know, like Avatar is a good sort of example of if I sort of put things on a different in a different planet and sort of make it colorful and it's sort of science fiction-y, then what people have to do is they draw their own connections to it. It allows people to empathize with things because they see it in a different light. You know, Star Trek did this. Or you can kind of set things and how things should be if you put it in a dystopian or like a future, putting it something in the future.
Ray Bradbury does this a lot with his work, especially The Martian Chronicles. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Some of his parallels are a little heavy hitting, but a lot of them are really good. Good science fiction will draw a parallel to current times. Yeah. But like you said, by taking it to like 1,000 years in the future, another planet, robots, an alien race. A lot of times when you see things that are about robots, that's usually about a subservient other group. It could be about immigration. It could be about slavery. Could be about groups of people that are underserved are usually represented by robots in futuristic movies.
Yeah. I mean, this is why X-Men is such a beautiful, so many people love X-Men so much because it is about when you are the other based on just who you are and being born a certain way. And it was amazing because that came out in the 60s, and that was a really beautiful story. And like, especially like, you know, a lot of comic book heroes are about these sort of like otherized persons, and that fear of the other and the powerful, who are there to save the day. I think like in some ways, like I guess like Dungeons and Dragons, go for it. I think it's great.
Oh, escapism. What do we escape with?
Well, like, I guess like, I think in times like this, you probably do need to play your Dungeons and Dragons a little bit more and escape, because that can be part of self-care. I think the balance is making sure that we don't escape too much into fantasy land.
Right. We need to stay grounded. It's good. It's like a sauna. You go in and out. You go from the pool and then into the sauna. You go, like, for instance, I will watch some Luke Cage. I will watch some Black Mirrors. I will read the comic book called Saga. I will listen to the podcast called Snap Judgment. All of those are great in kind of venturing into the fantasy Snap Judgment. Fantasy and science fiction kind of realm. But then I will take it back and I will listen to my This American Life, my Radio Lab, my The Read. I will then watch Moonlight. Will then go watch.
Did you watch Moonlight already? I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it this weekend, too. I'm going to see that, and I'm going to see great balance. I'm going to see Moonlight this weekend, and I'm also going to see Doctor Strange. So balancing it out.
That's good. I've already seen Doctor Strange.
But also something, too, you know, you asked about, like, what sort of, like, trends do we maybe see in this? And it's interesting because it's like, I don't know that we're any better at this sort of escapism than we were back in the 60s. Because, like, weird things happen with our sort of escapism, and if we're trying to use science fiction to tell, to try to get a point across, because, you know, I take the character of, like, Zoe Saldana, she's in so many science fiction things.
She is.
Which is great. And, like, she's also playing, you know, Lieutenant Uhura, who... That was revolutionary. Star Trek in general has always been revolutionary because, you know, you had a Russian and an Asian guy and a black woman in the future, and nobody said anything about it. It just was so natural of a thing.
It was just there. Yeah. It was the way
which is great. So I think you can also use escapism to just show, like, hey, this is how the world is now. Another one of our Ask Minority Corner Anything, he kind of asked about, like, you know, when you see, like, in Fifth Element that there's a black president and no one bats an eyelash at it, you know, it was 19, you know. Right. So in some ways, I guess you can do good. And then some ways there's still work to do because Zoe Saldana, she's blue in one movie and she's green in another. And
exactly,
you know, like, but you know, who is it? Susan Sarandon? No, Sigourney Weaver. You know, she's just, you know, regular.
She's just Sigourney Weaver.
She's just a white lady. She turns blue. Spoiler alert. But
if you haven't seen Avatar by now, no, what's sorry, wrong with it's you? Been 10 years.
And like, also, like, you know, Lupita Nyong'o, like, she, you know, in Star Wars, like, we don't get to see her. Like, we don't get to see her.
She's
beautiful.
Like an alien bug thing.
Right. But they don't do that with, like, the white ladies. We always get to see those white ladies. So it's sort of a missed opportunity that we're actually still not seeing these black female bodies sometimes.
Right. Right. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Westworld is a good cross section between escapism and it's a good science fiction fantasy show that is drawing parallels to now.
Oh, explain, because I've seen a few episodes of Westworld. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, because it's all about one subjective people. So we're going back into the robot trope where we have robots that are slowly gaining consciousness. Ooh. And the unfolding of that. So that's the upper level, but we're also looking into humanity and how humans treat these robots and escape through these robots. It's almost a look at escapism in a way.
Ooh, interesting.
And the further that it goes, it's kind of unfolding upper class, how you're slowly learning about the future and the dark aspects of the future and how it can turn.
Wow.
It's a very interesting show, and I think that they're doing some interesting things about discussion of body, discussion of who is allowed to do what, who are right. they. There are some problematic things within the show that we can get into in another time, but I yeah. think that that is where science fiction goes good with kind of the whole thing. It's looking into escapism while you're escaping within the show.
Totally. And it's something that you brought. It also talks about being human. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a conversation with how technology is going. Like, are we reminding ourselves to stay human. That when I'm talking on Facebook or I'm in this shouting match, just reminding myself that there's another human being on this other side that I can't visually see.
Yeah.
Because people are more empathetic when they actually can look into someone's eyes and visually see them. There will be more empathy there.
Right.
So, you know, and so remembering to be human. And I think The Walking Dead in general is a great one because it talks about, you know, there's a big theme by this point in the show, like, who are the actual Walking Dead? Because right. now if you're on the show, if you're still alive, you've had to do some fucked up shit to stay alive.
Yeah.
Only the strong. Like, you've killed people, all kinds of stuff. Like, everyone... Because at this point, so what does it mean, to be human? And are you be losing our humanity? And also what I love about that show at this point, back in its first seasons, it was, they had T-Dog, and he was, the only black person.
Yeah.
But now, I watch the show, and it's really beautiful because there's so many different black people on the show.
Oh, good.
And there's such diversity. There's, and it just, it's really beautiful to see that, I guess, and so I think you can also do it in casting and just having more than just the one and if we're moving on beyond that.
Yeah. Oh, I want to suggest a comic. I haven't personally read it, but I've heard from a lot of people that it's really good. It's called Saga. I think it has a lot of diverse characters in it. I believe it's kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Corner Kids, but I believe it's between two warring factions of people with horns and then people with wings, but they're super diverse and super badass, and it's kind of it's not for children, and I think it tackles a lot of issues that are going on today, so that might be kind of good to check out.
Yeah. So I think, those of you who are artists out there, any writers, and, you know, again, one of our other Ask Minority Corner kids, Kevin, shout out to you. I think fantasy and sci-fi is a great way to have these conversations for people who, you know, like I said, 75% of white Americans don't know other people of color. So it's maybe hard for them to understand conversations of race, but if you can draw them into this world and they can connect with the character and they're just like, oh my God, this is really fucked up that this is happening to this person. It allows them to experience it or allows them to see, get into a glimpse into a world that they are just so, it's so foreign to them. So science fiction is a great opportunity, and perhaps maybe you might even see more of that, because honestly,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have more coded ways that we talk to each other over the next 4 years, possibly. So we're going to have to find more coded ways to get our message out to other people, and science fiction is a great way to do that.
I agree. Stay fired up. Create some art.
Stay fired up. Go out into space with your art.
Well, thank you, Kyle, so much. I hope we answered it for you.
Thanks, Kyle Sullivan. I know it's a bit of a random thing, but hey, that's Minority Corner. We just kind of go off on tangents. So
if you've been listening, you know how we roll by now.
Yeah. So email your, email your questions. Keep it underneath the minutes to To where are we? Oh, Minority Corner.
Minority Corner with a K at
with a K,
gmail.com.
At gmail.com. An audio file. I prefer preferably MP3 files. You can record it on your phone and ask us anything except about penises. And that kid doesn't want to hear about it.
I don't know. You know what? Just don't be gross and like lewd towards us. If you have an honest question about your penis, we'll answer
it. We're not doctors, but we'll do our best to... And Eke prefers no pictures, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't want no pictures. Gross.
I mean, maybe we need to visually see it so we can figure it out. Stay fired up.
Yes.
What exactly are furries? What's happening on Game of Thrones?
Is VR cool?
What's your jam?
What show should I have on my DVR?
Hey, is the newest season of The Great British Bake Off any good?
For answers to these questions and so much more, come on over to Pop Rocket, a pop culture roundtable show with me, Guy Branum,
Winter Mitchell,
Margaret Wappler,
and Oliver Wang.
Catch us every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you decide to get your podcasts. I'm not going to judge.
Stay fired up, stay all fired right. up. Stay fired up, Minority Corner. Fire it up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Fired up.
Minority Corner is fired up.
Yeah.
I bet we can get Jennifer Hudson on the show now.
Good episode, James.
I feel empowered through this episode. So thank you.
I am about to bust out of my car, and I'm going to library the shit out of these kids today.
Fuck yes. You guys are going to get library the fucked up. I'm looking forward to seeing what our corner kids, what you all do. It's a movement that is happening, and
yes.
We're gonna make America great again, because it's going to get fucked
yes,
up a little
are.
Bit. So we're going to actually reappropriate that message.
Yeah, it's called We're Going to Fix America because y'all fucked it up.
Yeah, it's a lot to put on a hat, but that's okay.
If you're still feeling down, go heal, relax,
yep.
Enjoy, escape in some of the options that we just gave you.
Absolutely.
But then stay fired up and come on back.
Yeah, stay talking to everybody, and there's work to be done. But it's like, you know, we start now that, you know, again, just in 2 years, it's the midterm elections. And I know people are like, oh, I'm so exhausted. Nope, you don't get to be. Nobody gets to be exhausted right now. Like, you don't
take
get
your
to
fucking vitamins and buck up.
Because there is work to be done. We don't get to just, like, peace out from this. So we've got to stay on this. And also make sure to look out for each other. Like, and shut shit down,
yes.
as we talked about earlier. Because we got to pay attention to the small legislations. Keep an eye on your local politicians. Things
yes.
that they're passing. Things that we... Because
we...
If we... This is our country. This is our government. Remember, they work for us. That's how this
they
works.
Do.
He works for us because, you know, look at, like, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. So he also... We have the majority, actually.
Right.
So
he is our public servant.
Exactly.
That is their title.
He's not
he
a king.
He is there to serve us.
Exactly. So we
we need to hold him to it.
We got to hold him to it because he won't. So it is on us to be able to continue, you know, doing the work because we have a leader who can't do the work for us. So we have to ensure that it happens. So this is not...
Thank you.
This is not a losing anything. It's just like, this is life. This is what happens.
Yes.
And remember, like, you know... This is what it's like to be like in 1968 when Nixon won. I'm sure it was fucking like devastating for folks. And they thought the world
right.
was going to end. It didn't. There's damaging. There's some damaging effects that we're still feeling from, you know, Nixon winning, you know,
yes.
but we'll power through and we will be here for y'all every step of the way.
Exactly. Now here.
Even if we have to flee to Canada.
No, don't go to Canada.
No, I said even if we have to flee to Canada.
Oh, okay, but we'll still be there for you.
Yeah,
in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, or Iceland. That might be good.
You know, I want to go on one of those thermal baths.
Yeah, hang out with Bjork. We'll have Bjork on the podcast almost every week.
Fuck yeah, she'll be like our neighbor.
I live in Iceland. I see the snow. It is cold.
I think Bjork is here right now.
It is me, Bjork.
Okay, some plugs.
Yes.
First, we're going to the fucking Chicago Podcast Festival.
Get your tickets.
If you live in Chicago or in that area, you need to buy your tickets. Go to ChicagoPodcastFestival.org. We are going to be on the 18th of November at 7 p.m. at the Steppenwolf Theater.
That is next week, y'all.
Come see us. Tell a friend. Tell your mama. Tell your brother.
Yep.
Like us on iTunes.
You just sang the lyrics to Janet Jackson's Miss You Much.
What?
Tell your mama. Tell your friends. Tell anyone who can understand. Yeah. Write it in a letter, baby. Tell it on your hand. I don't know them. But yeah, do that. Like what she said.
Do that. Join Minority Corner on Facebook and also the Playground and start interacting with your fellow corner kids.
Yep, post things. You can come at us correct on there. Not incorrect. I know there's some fact checkers out there. Do it. Keep us well informed as we mobilize this Minority Corner base.
Yeah, fucking side-eye us. I can take it. Not too harsh. Be nice.
Yeah, I'm still, remember, human beings. We're still human beings.
Yeah. What else? Ask us anything.
Yep.
MinorityCorner with a K at gmail.com.
Tweet at us. And
MinorityCorner with a K on Twitter.
And
I feel like there's something else. Is there something else?
I don't know. We'll put it in the... And look at those Patti LaBelle videos.
Yes!
Especially now, more than ever, escapism. I posted it in the Minority Corner Playground. That should get y'all to join. The Patti LaBelle videos are there, so y'all need that. So go to Mama Patti for that Christmas special.
Watch it, enjoy yourself, live your life.
Live your life, yeah. All right, stay fired up, y'all.
Yes, we love you.
Love you.
You're American.
Yep, wave that flag and stay fired up.
Wave it.
Instead of doorbusting for a plasma TV this Black Friday, how about you stay in and snag the best deal of all? Max FunCon 2017 tickets. Max FunCon West returns to Lake Arrowhead next June, and Max FunCon East is back in the Poconos next September. Tickets for both go on sale Friday, November 25th, and they're gonna sell out fast. So mark your calendars and visit maxfuncon.com on November 25th to secure your spot. Max FunCon. Way more fun than a smartwatch or whatever.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.